Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I keep telling a lot of other hosts in India that you have to be very patient because in India, even the guests are still learning how to use Airbnb and they are learning what is the distinction between a hotel and an Airbnb.
Welcome to the Airbnb Tales podcast. This is your host, Manish Paul Simon, and this podcast is all about hosting and Airbnb travel stories in and around India and also around the world. Today we have with us Indrajit Godpade, who is a super host and has been hosting for the past 3 years. He hosts his ancestral home in Panchkani, Maharashtra, and he hosts his remotely. He's currently working for Facebook in Hyderabad, and guess how he gets his hosting done? With the help of a local village family called the Vatkar family, which has in turn helped them build a living for themselves. And we'll get into the details. Yeah, so tell us something about yourself, Indrajit.
Hey, thanks for having me on your show. And yeah, I started hosting around 3.5 years ago. And the whole idea of, you know, getting on Airbnb was because we had all visiting our place and the maintenance costs were going too high. So we're planning to sell it off, but we didn't want to the Vatkar family who had been staying there for so long. And then I decided, let's give Airbnb a try. And even if we can cover like the basic minimum maintenance costs and the salary that we used to pay the Vatkars, then we are good to keep the property. And hence started Panchkani. Initially, there were around 9 to 10 listings in Panchkani. And that kind of gave me a head start.
Okay. But how did you hear about Airbnb before, you know, you got into hosting and all that?
I don't exactly remember how I heard about it, but as a guest, I stayed at various places in Goa, in Pondicherry, and I had had a really good experience. So I instantly knew that this is going to like really pick up well in India, especially because, you know, a lot more people were now looking forward to travel and looking for more reasonably charged and more cozy accommodations. So yeah, that's why I decided to, you know, onboard on Airbnb.
Right. So when you started off hosting, you obviously didn't have those communities helping you out, right? So how did you start? Like, was it on your own and then you got them to help you out?
I started by myself. By who are you referring to? Like, who?
The Vatkar family, exactly.
Oh, yeah. So they stay at the property in an outhouse. So they were always present.
So right from the get-go, they were part of your hosting, is it?
Yes, yes. The only challenge was they weren't like anyway trained in hospitality and did not know the tricks and tricks of the trade. So initially, it was a bit of a challenge. There was language barriers. A lot of my guests were from Pune and Mumbai, so not all of them could speak Marathi. But slowly, slowly, as I kind of got more structure to this, I started sharing more information with the guests. Things kind of became easier. Even, you know, with more and more experience, they also kind of got more confidence to manage situations by themselves instead of calling me for everything. And yeah, now it's reached a pretty smooth state where even they feel kind of empowered sometimes to take like some tiny decisions themselves if ever there is any kind of a situation or a confusion with the guests. And in turn, like even from my end, I have matured to a level where I know exactly what all information needs to be shared with the guests, how to make sure that they read all of it, and you know, leaving no stone unturned for any surprises when someone enters the house.
Yeah, that's great. So you're the first point of contact and then you transfer the information to them, right?
Yes, me and my sister, she's a co-host. So both of us are the first point of contact. And post that, I think once post-check-in, everything is taken care. Almost everything is taken care by the Vatkars.
Okay, super. And what I read about your article on Airbnb community was The Vatkar family, through the years, has helped them, you know, send their daughters to school and also build a house for themselves. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting story. So, just some background. The very first guest who came there, I wanted to make sure that the first guest has a brilliant experience. I had read a lot online about, you know, deliver that five-star experience. So, I did all of that. And when she checked out, I called her just to know how her stay was and if she has any feedback. And something that she was really happy about was the home-cooked food that she got. And I wasn't aware of this. So Mrs. Vadkar, her name is Sunita, she helped her out.
So one sec. Yeah. So yeah, you were talking about your first guest in your place and how, you know, he was surprised by the really good food that Mrs. Sunita had made and all that.
Exactly. So I wasn't aware of this until like the guest told me that they had food at our place and that was cooked by Sunita. And then because our place is like quite far away from the main Panchvani market, there's no like food delivery system or anything available.
So that was not part of your listing, is it? The food and all that.
So I had I mentioned that we have an equipped kitchen and guests can use it if they want to cook. But I soon realized that when you're on a vacation, the last thing you want to possibly do, like not everyone wants to sit and cook lunch. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I spoke to Sunita and I'm like, would she be to, you know, help the guests cook going ahead? And, you know, they can charge whatever they want and discuss that. So I left that part completely to them. And that kicked off pretty well. We soon created a very small menu with like options for home cooked food. And my mom shared a few recipes because earlier their list of recipes were like very limited to very, very basic home style.
Right, right. So you had a menu with price and everything.
Correct. And I made sure that I informed the guests that, you know, all the profits will go directly to the Vadkar. So I was like nowhere responsible if there was any shortage or if they were unable to make it or like if there were any issues. But it became super popular. She makes the best chicken curry and bhakri. Bhakri is like...
Bhakri is a local dish, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a jowar and bajra roti.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
So what are the top dishes that sell in your place?
The chicken thali is the top most one.
Okay, okay. Yeah.
And mom taught her to make aloo paratha because aloo paratha was like very growing in demand for breakfast.
Right, so, right.
That is also like one of the top most dishes. A lot of guests mentioned it in their reviews. So that went on pretty well. And eventually they started making a good sum, you know, from the food. And in 3.5 years, I think they have managed to build their own house in a nearby valley village where they have their extended family staying. And even through the income that I started getting through Airbnb, it was more than what we needed for maintaining the place. So we kind of partially started funding their daughter's education. And, you know, my dad is like super aware about what all different government schemes and yojanas are there for girl childs. So he made sure that, first of all, he made sure that they got a bank account. And then they could avail and benefit from all these schemes just so that, you know, their future is secured.
Right. So from the idea of selling your villa 3 years back to, you know, helping a small family in that village build a, you know, living for themselves, that's truly an inspiring story, Ajit.
Thank you. It is quite an experience for me as well. Because when I started off, I never thought it will ever reach this point. I had zero idea about how much people would possibly use Airbnb and what the occupancy would look like. But, I mean, it's got a phenomenal...
Right. And right from... I mean, you're an entrepreneur, of course. And this has also helped those guys become micro-entrepreneurs, right? A small right. Entrepreneurship within entrepreneurship. So, exactly. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. In fact, now they are planning to... So, they also bought a bike recently.
Okay, great.
And just a few couple of months ago, one of the guests requested to like borrow the bike to go around. And he just lent it to them. He didn't charge anything. But like while checking out, those guys themselves, like they paid them for the bike. So now he's also considering that when he doesn't need it, and if he have guests over, like he could start renting out his bike and maybe like in future purchase a couple of cycles to go around, because Panchgani is very scenic and can be best experienced on a cycle if you want to go to like the remotest points in the forests and around.
Okay, so talking about Panchgani, tell us more about, Panchgani. What is so attractive in Panchgani that people should visit it?
It is the closest weekend breakaway from Pune and Bombay, and it's a hill station that was kind of developed by some of the British officers. It's well known for its educational facilities and for a very, if you have watched Tare Zameen Par, like the school that's
Yeah,
shown in the
oh,
book.
right. That's from Panchgani, is it?
And the other big attraction is Mapro. If you have heard of the company, they make jellies and jams and syrups. So they have a beautiful thing there called Mapro Garden, where you can see how all these things are made and you can also taste them. So these are like two of the biggest attractions. And apart from that, like it's in the Western Ghats, so like the natural beauty and the flora and the fauna is like too
Yeah.
good.
Yeah,
Very
absolutely.
impressive.
Yeah. So, have you started a tourist, tourism guide for Panchgani, or is it in the making?
So on Airbnb itself, you can make a guidebook. So I keep adding more places to it as and when I find it.
No,
And
as
I
in, like, do you show your, I mean, those people who are staying in your place, the Whatker family, do they show the guests around or something like that?
not really, not yet.
Okay.
I haven't even considered from that point. But yeah, that is one good area to explore. Yeah, something he has helped his friend to become a micro entrepreneur is his one of his friends who was a strawberry farmer. Very close by, at maybe a walking distance from our place. So I kind of asked them if we can have the whole strawberry picking experience during the harvest, where you just go in with a basket and you pick as many strawberries as you want and then you weigh them. A lot of farmers are skeptical because guests are super unruly and they will like maybe trample the harvest or they'll uproot the whole plant while plucking and all of that. So they would never allow. But I kind of started again, I made a list of instructions how to. Do's and don'ts of once you enter the farm. And all my guests during the harvest season get to have that experience. So this farmer friend of Vadkar's, his name is Mr. I forgot his name. His last name is Bilare. So he also kind of gets to make money from the strawberry picking experience. And he had a car. So a lot of guests who don't come to Panchgani with their own transport, like he started renting out his car directly to them.
Great.
So
So
kind of
you
a
built
step.
a big ecosystem
Yeah,
out there, man.
if you have to manage remotely, you have to have a lot of people supporting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had more than 500 guests so far in your place. Who do you
Yeah.
think was your favorite guest, or do you have any good stories to tell?
That's an interesting one. There are some guests that you kind of stay in touch with.
And what is the percentage of, Indian guests or foreign guests? Is it like 50-50 or more foreign guests staying in your
Oh
place?
no, my all like almost 99% of my guests are Indian guests. I don't think Panchgani is so much of an attraction for like foreign tourists. It's mostly like people from Bombay and Pune, where it's more popular.
Right. And you host up to 9-10 people, right? I mean, if I'm not wrong, yeah.
In fact, earlier when I started, we had put it up for six guests only because our place can comfortably accommodate six people. But then I had requests of people saying that, oh, we are a group of 10, it's a family, and we really like your place, but we want to stay in the same place. So I was like, as long as you guys are okay adjusting and, being okay, I mean, you're more than welcome. And that went on pretty well. So I had to add a few extra mattresses and all of that. But yeah, if people are okay with that small compromise of space, I have hosted more than 10 people as well.
Okay, right. So go ahead and give us an example of when you had any different kind of an experience or hosting someone who had a different kind of an experience or an interesting story that you would like to say.
Okay, there is one. So I had this family from Bhopal who wanted to visit Panchgani, which is very rare. Like I said, it's only people living close by who usually come. And they wanted to come from for a pretty long time, for almost 5 to 6 days. And one of their family members was wheelchair bound. And none of the properties in Mahabaleshwar and Panchgani were like wheelchair friendly. The conventional hotels, and those that were like super expensive, obviously. So because they wanted to come for a longer time, they were very keen on staying at my place, and my place is not wheelchair friendly. We do have steps and, you know, all of that. So they were pretty adamant that they wanted to stay at my place. And I said that I'll try my best, but there was very little I could possibly do. So I spoke to Adkar and I'm like, can we kind of have sort of a, you know, like, can you help him, like maybe lift the chair while getting in, or what can you do? And he said, don't worry about it and I'll figure it out. And this was an instant booking. So, you know, they were arriving like in 2 days. So I didn't even feel like declining.
Right, right.
And Vadkar just said, I'll figure it out. And I'm like, okay. Then I spoke to the guest as well. And I'm like, listen, like, this, you're really taking a risk. I'm sure you'll get in, but then it will be a little difficult. But even they said that, okay, they'll manage. And I was super nervous. I'm like, what if, you know, they just can't enter the house? And, you know, that will be so disappointing. And to my surprise, in those 1.5 days, Vadkar had managed to put a small wooden ramp at our main entrance where we have the steps to get in.
Right, like a jugaad scene.
Exactly, exactly. In order to get that, and everything is like, you know, DIY. Nothing fancy. He just found some, you know, wooden planks from somewhere and he made that ramp and he put it up there. And these guys call me and they're like, hey, we have checked in. It's amazing. Everything is great. One of the attractions of our place is the balcony, which is on the first floor.
Okay.
And you can see fireflies from there in the night.
So, oh, nice. Wow.
It really attracts people. So again, you know, you have to take the stairs to go up, but, you know, people from his family and Vadkar and everyone, they managed to, you know, take the chair upstairs along with our guest. And I was super humbled and super impressed with, you know, what they managed to do. And even the guests were like so happy that Vadkar was so helpful and I did not decline their booking despite of knowing that, you know, there are going to be challenges. So that was one experience that like really kind of made me believe that if you have to host and if you're willing to host, then
you have to go above and beyond.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Have you had any negative experiences or negative?
Many.
Oh, yeah.
I keep telling a lot of other hosts in India that you have to be very patient because in India, even the guests are still learning how to use Airbnb and they are learning what is the distinction between a hotel and an Airbnb. A lot of people don't realize that. And then the very first thing that you have to explain them is like, hey, this is our home. And that's why in all my communication, I never refer to it as property or rooms. I'll always call it home so that it's very clear that you're entering someone's house. Negative experience are like same thing, you know, people checking in and realizing that, oh, this is not a hotel or this is very rare, but like people trying
to... Yeah, they have a lot of expectations, right?
Exactly. They have like super high expectations. And with like OYOs and all these cheaper chains that we have got, I mean, the expectations are super high. And sometimes you just got to like tell them that, hey, this is a home and everything is not going to be perfect. Something that I had to change, like one of the reasons why I had to come up with the menu and this whole home cooking thing had to be done was initially I had stayed at a few international Airbnbs and they would just stock up the fridge and it would be like, use whatever you want. So I started that way. There used to be eggs and breads and milk and fruits, but a lot of guests would just like take everything away while checking out. So I'm like, this is not going to help at all.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Because it's a 3-4 hour journey back to Bombay and 2.5 to Pune. So I don't know like for what purpose, but
yeah.
they would just take away 24 eggs and I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So I had to do something about it. And that is when I actually thought, okay, let's keep a menu and let's keep like, they call this the Indigo model. Like you pay for everything that you take. So that also makes it easy for people who don't want to spend so much on all these other things and just want accommodation. And they can just pick whatever added amenities they want and they can pay for those.
Okay. So do you educate your guests telling them, see, this is not a hotel. There may be shortcomings and all that.
Yeah. That's the very first thing that has to be done. Like, I think now more and more guests know how Airbnb works and what it is. But like 3.5 years ago, they didn't have a very clear idea of the distinction. I think these days there is a lot more awareness.
And how do you deal with the negative reviews in case you have any, you know, negative?
First thing is to acknowledge that, yes, there are shortcomings. Like, initially, I used to get super defensive. Like, how dare you write that about my home? Yeah, the first thing is, like, acknowledge that, okay, they did have a bad experience. So I will give Vadkar a call to discuss what happened, and then I'll give the guests a call to understand. If it's something serious, you know, then I'll give them a call to understand what exactly happened. And just leaving a response, like, specifically to the negative reviews is very, very important. Because when someone else is booking, they will obviously look at the positives, but the negative will always stand out. So if you have a valid justification, or if you are planning to make improvements, always responding to that review and mentioning that there, you know, helps the future guests to, like, be assured that, okay, fine, these guests are, like, receptive and they are making
change. Yeah. So you can actually make out in the reviews as well, like, you know, what kind of guests are writing those in. Yeah. Purpose, on purpose, or, you know, just for the sake of putting you down, something.
And it's very tricky in India, because if you know, all throughout our schooling, giving 100 marks is never a, at least in, like, state boards where I studied, you'll always get, like, 1 mark less either for your handwriting or for something. So that is how people have been brought up, and giving a 5-star is like, oh my God, like, no, it has to be a 4 for, you know, this wasn't there, or this was not as good. So I have stopped bothering myself with not getting a 5-star. Initially, I would, like, really try super hard. But then I realized some guests just don't, you know, give good ratings. Like, there was one guest who throughout his stay, I was in touch and kept telling me that he was having a really good time and everything was going well. And when he wrote the reviews, it said that I had a really good time, and then there was a paragraph of negatives.
Oh, right.
Like, whoa, like, why didn't you tell me this before? And I spoke to him, and I wasn't pretty convinced with the rationale he was giving. And then somehow I kind of, you know, looked up for who this person is. And on Google, I found out that this person is an avid reviewer. He will review everything, like, from the pawn shop outside his house, and will never give anything above a 3-star. Like, okay, hands up. I can't do much about this now.
Yeah, but the best part is you're still a Airbnb super host, right? In spite of all this. So.
I'm not right now.
Okay.
I think the more you grow and the more reviews you get, it is very hard to continue staying in Airbnb super host, because their algorithmic has this punishment approach.
Yeah.
So the more reviews you have... Exactly. Yeah. The more reviews you have, even if you get, like, 1, 4, or 3-star, you need a lot more 5-star reviews then to cover up for that. So I have now stopped bothering myself.
Yeah, but I feel it doesn't matter once you reach a certain threshold, like 100 reviews or 200 reviews.
Yeah, it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. And have you had any instances of where you had to report to Airbnb of some guests, you know, maybe damaging a property or something?
Not really. There was one time when one of the guests dropped the TVs and that broke, but they were very nice. Like, they themselves called me and they're like, we are very sorry, the TV fell, and, you know, we will arrange for the repair, or, like, so yeah, I haven't had any negative experience as such when I had to report.
Okay, so what is your future plans going ahead with, you know, hosting in Airbnb? Are you still planning to do the remote hosting and travel around the world or something like that?
Yes, it will be remote hosting as well, because my job doesn't allow me to work from Panchkani. And something that I'm thinking of now is, because this whole strawberry thing is big in Panchkani, and some popular dishes that people like to have are, like, strawberry with cream and strawberry mastani, which is strawberry milkshake with, you know, ice cream and all of those. So I'm considering adding those to the menu. It is not that difficult to prepare. So I just need to visit once and chat with Sunita.
So you're planning to build a brand?
Not a brand, but just adding more to the menu. To make it, you know, more attractive, because I've learned, like, one very big way to make people happy is through food. If you get good food, people are very happy with their vacations.
I think even when they come and stay at your place, the first thing which a big turn on for them is the food,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I'm like, let's try to, like, leverage on that factor and see where we can get. And apart from that, there's a big plastic ban in Maharashtra. Panchkani already had it, so I'm also thinking, I spoke to Vadkar the other day, that if he is willing, does he want to start selling, like, cloth bags, umbrellas, other essentials that might be needed during a trip for going out. So he's open to that. I just need to find the right products and start keeping them there.
Yeah, but how are you managing all of this? You know, you have a 9-to-5 job probably, and you host remotely, and you're doing multiple entrepreneur scenes. I mean, it's really, you know, impressive. So how do you do this?
So that's the thing. You know, I have my sister who's a co-host, and she's still studying. So I think she's probably the youngest host in India right now.
She stays in Pune, is it?
She stays in Pune, yes.
Okay, okay.
So whenever I have a hectic schedule at work for myself, like, she has been a co-host for more than a year now. So she's also got like that sufficient level of confidence to manage situations. Great. So that really helps to have a helping hand.
Few things. Do you have any tips, you know, for Airbnb hosts, especially a remote host?
Yes. Communication is key, especially if you're hosting remotely, because the more detailed and precise information you give, the lesser the chances of any confusion happening once the guest checks in. So that is like one of the biggest things that I've learned over all these years, that keep your communication super detailed and accurate and precise, and make sure your guests have read that, because initially my communication was like super detailed but not precise, so people wouldn't bother to read through all the paragraphs.
Right.
But now I have like key points listed down, which are like basic essentials for guests to know, and that has really helped.
Like, do you have a Facebook page, or apart from Airbnb, do you host elsewhere as well? Like on maybe on?
Not on any other platform. Okay. I do have a Facebook page though. And
of
I have
the listing, is it?
Yeah. I have a Facebook page of the listing, and I have also like pinned it on Google. So I initially used to also, you know, just request some of my guests to leave reviews on Google. So yeah, some of them do come from like Facebook and Google, but I haven't tried any other.
Google platform. As in it shows up on location and all that.
Yeah. On Google, if you search for like homestay in Panchgani, I think it appears on some 8th result.
So you got that done through that My Business Google, is it?
Yes. I think on G+, if you can create a business profile, like it started with, I wanted my place to be on maps so that people can locate it. And that whole process, it's very wholesome. So like it includes everything. Your website is like auto-generated. It's everywhere.
And it's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Oh, super. Okay. I think that's a great tip. Like, and you received this host award from Airbnb India, right? So what is that story? In 2016, right?
Yes. So that was a first Airbnb India host event that Airbnb had organized in Bombay. And I was super active that time on Airbnb community forum.
Okay.
So that's like a forum for international, like guests from every, hosts from everywhere. And there's a lot to learn because, you know, people from all over the world are sharing their experiences. And I kind of got hooked to it and started interacting a lot. And I used to, and there's a India Airbnb host Facebook group as well that is run by Airbnb. So I used to pick suggestions and tips from there and keep sharing it here. And overall, I think I was like super active in keeping that group active, which is why they had given me a small award to just recognize those efforts.
So you kind of use social media in a big way as well in your hosting journey.
Yes. My next goal is actually to connect all the hosts in Panchgani, because over the years, a lot more people have joined, and a lot of them host. So I'm sure if all of us can connect with each other, there'll be a lot to gain.
But you're the best host out there, right? In terms of competition and all that.
In terms of number of reviews, yes. But I'm sure there are other hosts. Some of them are my friends who have like really amazing properties. I've stayed at their place actually, because every time I get to go is when I have a vacation, and that's the time my place is always booked. So there have been a couple of times where I've actually stayed at some of the other hosts in Panchgani, and they are fabulous as well.
And you guys learn off each other.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. And you've traveled overseas as well and stayed in overseas Airbnbs, right?
True.
So how do you feel Airbnb hosting out there is compared to India? What do you think of the Indian hospitality?
Each experience was pretty different. In India, what I've seen is whenever I've stayed with hosts who are staying at their own place, not doing remote hosting, there's obviously that added charm of Indian hospitality. You can clearly see it. As compared to when I stayed in Paris and when I had stayed in Florence, I guess. They are interactive and super helpful, but like they know very well, like they don't want to be too intrusive. So they like consciously step back and they're like, if you all need us, like we are there. But yeah, if you like, so one of my hosts in Florence, like she welcomed us, and post that she used to be in her room, but like we invited her for dinner with her and she was more than welcome. And she's like, why go out? Like I can make dinner for all of us. So, you know, that's one difference that I saw. But apart from that, I think overall Airbnb hosts, like everyone is super passionate about hosting, and that is why most of them are on Airbnb. So it's been nice. If you know how to select the right places, I think you always end up having a good experience.
Right. And you have big plans to host in other places as well?
Not as of now, but I'm helping some of my friends who recently bought houses to start hosting.
So you're doing the co-host program as well, is it? No.
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. How has Airbnb hosting changed your life?
I think I got a lot more exposure to, especially through the community center that Airbnb has. Like I got more exposure to international hosting standards and knowing the struggles and the wins of like our international hosts, to an extent where now I have some brilliant friendships developed with hosts from like various cities around. So I definitely know I have like a free stay if I go to Hawaii. So, you know, that really helps when you have this big international network. And that has been like one really big change. Also, apart from that, like this is like a family project for us, which has brought my family a lot more closer. Because it's not just me, like everyone's involved. My dad takes care of some sections, my mom takes care of a few sections, and my sister's a co-host. So it's become like this big family project where all of us are involved. So our WhatsApp group chat has more
messages. You guys have a WhatsApp group as well?
Of course.
Awesome.
So it always has messages about who's coming, what's going on, and all of that. So in a way, it has got us closer because there's a lot more interaction between all of us.
That's great. How is Hyderabad? I mean, it's just a random question, but how is your stay in Hyderabad and everything?
Hyderabad is amazing. I think initially when I moved, I used to cry every day because I didn't get a job in Bangalore, because that was my dream place.
You wanted to work in Bangalore. Yeah.
All my friends were in Bangalore, so I'm like, I have to go to Bangalore. But I think over the years, I have now developed immense love for Hyderabad. You get brilliant food. The people are super, super welcoming. So
the biryani there is pretty good, right?
Yes.
Shout out biryani and paradise, yeah. Also pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, super. What is the one thing that you feel I should have asked but didn't?
I can't think of any. I think we have almost covered everything.
Okay, just tell me something more about your life, you know, apart from Airbnb. What is your goals in life? What are you planning to do in the future and all that?
Wow. I don't have any set goals, but I work at Facebook. There's a team called Community Operations, Risk and Response. So I basically, myself, I like serving the community and doing community work heavily. And initially, while I was studying, I was also quite involved in like some local NGOs that were there. And that was one of the reasons I picked up this job, because it was not like a regular IT job. My impact directly I could see translating into the real world. So that is where I am, and I plan to continue to be there. And eventually, I think I'm getting more and more involved towards community building as a whole, because especially in cities like ours, like everyone is so occupied and so busy and, you know, limited to their own houses, that I feel that people don't interact so much. So I constantly try finding if there are any community spaces, and I've hosted a couple of Airbnb meetups, like informal ones.
Nice.
Similarly, venturing into like, you know, other causes that I care about, and getting those people together and having these small groups in, you know, an intimate setting so that they are more connected is something that I keep working towards.
Pretty cool, man. Guy for your age and thinking, you know, so much about the future and all that. Usually, guys our age, you know, it's all about the pub life and partying and all that, right?
I think I'm almost done with that.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, great, man. All right, let's get to the quick fire round where I get to ask you about the nitty-gritty of, you know, Airbnb hosting. So, what is the occupancy rate and how do you deal with, like, you know, off-season months in your hosting?
On peak seasons, the occupancy rate is almost 70%. And non-peak season, it's always weekends. So, there is no, like, a complete off-season. Even during off-seasons, like, the weekends are usually booked.
Okay. And Mondays to Fridays very rarely gets booked, is it?
Mondays to Thursdays get rarely booked. Usually, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the days which get occupied.
Okay. And the Vatkas, they get a percentage, like, the co-hosting program or how is it?
They aren't enrolled as co-hosts, so they get a monthly salary as before. Then all the food profits go to them. And for every guest that we host, they also get a percentage on that.
Okay, so but what happens if you have less guests in a month? You still pay the right salary, is it?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and how do you manage? Is the running cost and all that manageable? Like water, electricity and all that?
Yeah, now it kind of is. With the kind of occupancy that I have, the costs, are they get covered.
Okay, and what extra provisions or basic amenities do you provide?
I've noticed that toiletries is something that a lot of Airbnbs in India don't have, like the good ones do have, so I make sure that I have those. I have a fully equipped kitchen for people to cook themselves or like have it cooked by the workers. And yeah, like I mentioned, like I have contacts of Panchgani tours and Mahabaleshwar tours and all of that in place.
Okay, super.
Streamlined.
Okay, and you get a percentage of that? Usually it's like that, right? You
know, no, I don't get a percentage of that. Like I said, like my primary goal wasn't to make profit. It was just to make sure that we can keep the house. So I try not to get through that. I recently got a barbecue grill, so that is like a new added attraction where a lot of people like making their own barbecue.
Yeah, I think I read few reviews where, you know, some guests were complaining about the barbecue food there.
Yeah, they don't get, like, now again, I started explaining better. Initially, they thought that, oh, they just have to like request for it and they will get kebabs made for on the plate.
Yeah.
No, that's an experience. We'll provide you the grill and the coal. And if you want, we can marinate the meat for you. But then you got to do it yourself.
Okay. And do you have any Airbnb pricing tips? Like, do you alter the pricing depending on the season and all that?
My pricing.
Like off-season pricing or discount tactics or something like that.
Yeah, I slightly inflated during peak seasons, which is, you know, Christmas, New Year's and Diwali. But apart from that, the pricing is mostly stable. And one tip that I have is sometimes if you're getting, if someone's trying to book for 2 days or more, especially with an occupancy rate like mine, it is okay to slash the prices slightly instead of having a full day empty. So try calculating what is your basic expenditure for hosting for 1 day. And as long as your pricing is not taking you into losses and you're still making some profit, it's okay to give a short discount because I've seen that whenever guests request for like, they try to negotiate for a price drop, and even if you give them even like a 5%, they're more than happy to book it. So it's not much about the price, it's just about that satisfaction that, oh, we got it for a lesser price.
Okay, super. And do you use any apps or services that helps you run your hosting businesses?
WhatsApp, majorly WhatsApp, because it's way easier to communicate and forward a lot of information and pictures with the guests.
So as soon as your guest is confirmed, you send them the location details and all that, is it?
Yeah. I send them location details, check-in information, guidebooks and other tips and everything that they need to know. Also, a lot of them fail to read house rules on the Airbnb platform. So I again reiterate those on WhatsApp.
Okay. So you have a basic forward that you forward to all your guests.
Right.
Okay. And do you have you set up a self check-in or there's always someone to, you know,
because Barker's always there. Okay. I don't need like self check-in.
Okay. Do you charge a cleaning fee for your guests?
Not really. It is kind of included in the main price, but I don't list it out separately.
Okay. Do you have any safety features? No, right? Not really.
I do.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I have a fire extinguisher. Then I have a carbon monoxide detector. Yeah, so Airbnb was giving away free carbon monoxide detectors once upon a time is when I had gotten it. And then I bought a fire extinguisher on Amazon. And I have a safety guide printed and put up in the hall and in both the bedrooms. So that, again, you can make it from the Airbnb platform. You just need to put in the details and you can print it out. And I have a first aid kit for basic first aid.
Okay. Hey, sorry, man. I didn't get in the details of your house. So yours is a 4-bedroom house, right?
Two-bedroom
villa. Okay. And also, I want to know how you deal with back-to-back bookings. Suppose, you know, you have a guest on Friday, Saturday, and then there's another guest on Sunday.
Yeah. So we know that we have a sufficient amount of linen and everything else that is needed to support 3 back-to-back bookings. After that, you need to take a pause to like wash everything and make sure it's dried and stuff. So just assessing like your need per what you have is very important, because there was one time when for the first time I got 7 back-to-back bookings in December. And that was the time when I realized that there is no time to wash and clean. So I had to like in a hurry purchase extra sets of beddings and everything.
Okay. And yeah. This was done remotely as well.
Yeah. I mean, Vadkar manages the whole washing and cleaning. Nice. But yeah, that still needs to be some guidance from my end.
Okay. And what kind of guests do you get? Most of them are just coming for the, you know, leisure part or...
Yeah, it's just a weekend getaway from your daily, you know, weekday jobs. Because it's so close to Pune and Bombay, and both of them have such big IT and other office part that a lot of them just come there. And it's just a 2.5-hour drive from Pune. So it's mostly for leisure.
Okay. And also, I want to know if you accept all the queries you get through Airbnb or you buffer a few of them.
I accept almost all. I sometimes only reject ones when some guests are like too pushy with the pricing.
Ask multiple questions.
Multiple questions is fine because it's okay. It just shows that these guys want to know everything before stepping in. But sometimes when the questions are really unreasonable, or you can already, you know, see that they are not even putting any effort to see the listing or read up, then I try to avoid. But that is very rare.
Okay. And have you had like a really long-term stay?
No, I think the maximum I have hosted someone was for 7 days, not more than that.
Okay. And you provide complimentary breakfast and all that, right?
No, like I mentioned earlier, I used to earlier, but there are some guests who don't want the complimentary breakfast. So instead, I have, again, added it to the menu and I'm like, order whatever you want. It's very tricky with complimentary breakfast, like how much will one eat and what would they need is very tricky to assess. So I'm like, here's the menu, whatever you need, just one night in advance, let us know and we'll try to make that.
Okay, nice. Super. And coming to a close, what is the number one tip you would give to fellow Indian Airbnb hosts?
Be patient and communicate fully.
Awesome, man. All right, Jeet, it was really nice talking to you. And I'm sure this episode is packed with a lot of, you know, nice nuggets which Airbnb hosts can take. And yeah, that was pretty cool, man. Nice talking to you.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Airbnb Tales podcast episode number 6. I hope you liked this podcast episode and I hope you learned something out of it through. So if you guys want extra information or maybe the links which Inderjeet mentioned throughout this episode, you can go to airbnbtales.com/06. We got all the information there and it's going to be helpful a ton for your Airbnb hosting as well. Also guys, please subscribe and review us on iTunes or whichever podcast platform you're listening to. That's it for today. I hope to see you guys soon, and we've got great guests lined up in the future, so tune in to the Airbnb Tales podcast for some great stories of hosting and travel.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.